Hi, I'm Jessica Steinberg. Welcome to the Times of Israel Daily Briefing.
Your update on what's important in Israel, the Middle East, and the Jewish world.
Hello, welcome to the Times of Israel's Daily Briefing. Happy that you're here with us today. Quick reminder about Streetwise Hebrew for the Times of Israel community, our bite-sized audio Hebrew classes. More about that at the end of today's podcast. Today is Monday, October 25th. I'm Jessica Steinberg, wishing a good work week to all our non-Israeli listeners. Joining me today are political correspondent Tal Schneider and military reporter Judah Ari Gross. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey.
Judah, why don't you start us off? Tell us about the recent report that you wrote up yesterday, looking back at the May 15 strike on the 12-story tower in Gaza City, which housed the Associated Press. A former general said that it amounted to an own goal. What does that mean? Please explain.
Sure. So during the May conflict, sort of one of the most controversial moves that Israel took was bringing down a tower in Gaza City called Al-Jala Tower, which housed sort of among other things. It was a big sort of 12-story building, and it housed among other things the Associated Press, Al Jazeera, a number of other sort of media outlets and businesses. And when the Israeli military brought that down, it sparked sort of worldwide condemnation and criticism, including from some sort of stalwart Israeli advocates in the U.S., people like Bob Menendez, who's like often, you know, a lone sort of very pro-Israel Democrat. The U.S. government itself didn't sort of condemn the move, but it definitely said, you know, it needs to be looked into. And Israel at first was sort of said that Hamas operated intelligence units from there and some technological units, but it was a bit cagey about what exactly it struck. And then later said that Hamas was developing some kind of equipment to interrupt GPS signals that could interfere with the Iron Dome. But in general, sort of the move was questionable at best, sort of at the time. You know, there was a good deal of criticism coming towards the IDF at the time, but the IDF really justified it and, you know, sort of stood by the decision to bring down this tower. Though it was did sort of recognize that it should have done so in a better way and been more prepared to say why it was conducting the strike and sort of it needed to do a better job of explaining itself. And now we're starting to hear sort of now that we're sort of 5 months on, we're starting to hear a slightly different tune. So last night, Nitzan Alon, who sort of career general who served as the head of the Central Command. He was the head of IDF operations for a long time. And now he's sort of out of the military. But sort of before he fully got out of the military, he conducted an IDF investigation sort of within the military into the public perception aspects of this operation. And last night at a conference hosted by the INSS think tank, he basically said what a lot of people have been believing since day one, which was that this was caused more harm than good, that the amount of damage that this caused to Israel diplomatically and in terms of international legitimacy sort of outweighed whatever operational value bringing down this tower had. He called it a mistake, and he said it was an own goal and a public perception or sort of a PR terror attack, a self-inflicted PR terror attack was sort of how he described it quite dramatically.
What was the reaction when he said that?
So he said that not everybody in the military, sort of ascribes to that belief, but that that's certainly what he's come to from his investigation. And I think there in, I can say that the military is sort of aware now that it can't bring down a tower that houses an international press agency and not expect some kind of pushback, you know, including from allies and advocates, and that if it's going to do something like that in the future, and there really is, you know, clear justification, that it's going to have to come with that justification sort of much more quickly than it did in this case.
Okay, here's another public relations sort of issue that's going on.
So speaking of actions that may have caused more damage than they were worth, on Friday in a bit of a heavy-handed and bungled way, or on Thursday, technically, I should say. On Thursday, Israel declared six Palestinian civil rights, human rights, legal organizations to be sort of terror-related, which is going to make it very difficult for anybody to give them money in the future. Several of these were, major organizations with significant backing from foreign governments, from the European Union, from the United Nations. Sort of it was officially announced, you know, the declaration came out out on Thursday. But Defense Minister Benny Gantz sort of announced it on Friday. And it immediately prompted some pushback from the United States, who said that they weren't informed of the matter. Then a senior Israeli defense official said they had been informed, but then another senior Israeli official said, okay, we're sending somebody now to the United States to show them the information and the justification for this move. It's prompted some worldwide, you know, sort of a lot of condemnation from a lot of the regular, regular sources around the world. But it's also receiving a good deal of pushback, within Israel for, you know, a bit of a change. It's receiving a good deal of pushback from Israel because this is being done with with no hard evidence being supplied. There's lots of sort of allegations being made that aren't being backed up. And a lot of the allegations do not necessarily amount to sort of criminal activity. They just sort of sound bad and they're guilty by association. And there hasn't been a lot of sort of real hard evidence. There hasn't been any real hard evidence being shown. There's no signs that, you know, money has been laundered. They're not saying, here's the bank account where you can see that this money was given from the European Union. And then a week later, it was deposited into the bank account of, you know, the PFLP, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine terror group's coffers. You know, there hasn't been anything that really shows the hardcore criminal activity that would warrant such a heavy-handed approach. And one of the things that sort of makes this more difficult for Israel to do is sort of the last time that Israel came sort of very hard on an international or internationally backed human rights organization about 5 years ago, when Israel accused somebody from the organization of taking money from, you know, embezzling funds from World Vision, which is an Australian, mostly Australian funded, group that was operating in the Gaza Strip. They accused the, sort of one of the heads of the organization in Gaza there of, you know, embezzling this money and giving it to Hamas. And he was placed under arrest, and we're 5 years on and he's never been convicted. A lot of the organization and the Australian government have conducted their own sort of internal, reviews of the allegations and haven't been able to back them up. And it really cast a lot of doubts about how serious Israel's allegations against these kinds of activities are. And now we're sort of back to the same place of real, you know, huge dramatic, allegations that are not being backed up by evidence.
Tal, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this.
Well, talking to Ministry of Foreign Affairs officials last night, they made the case that it was indeed reported heavily to the White House. And apparently the spokesperson for the State Department was maybe not aware of those discussions. And that's the reason he said the United States was not, in the loop. So, you know, Israeli officials claim, and they insist on that the White House and the Ministry of, the Secretary of Defense or the Defense Ministry were fully aware of the details, including the evidence. And if you look at some of the names of those groups, I think the investigations began after the murder of Rina Schnerb, when they arrested tens of activists, and then they found out that some of the activists that were involved in her murder are also recruiting money for the NGOs. I don't know about the six of them, but at least some of them. And, then you have to ask, okay, so what does, you know, why is the NGO, the civil rights organization is to be blamed to what its employees are doing? This is the big question. And on that front, I agree with you that we do not see the specific evidence, but we do have conversations from officials in the Israeli government insisting that there is, you know, a heavy connection there. So I think it will be still debated. The defense minister, by the way, is out of the country in an undisclosed location, and he is not able at the moment to brief reporters on the specifics. But we did get last night some briefing from, you know, other ministries of the government on that. So they're all, you know, they're standing in one front, except Meretz and Labor, obviously. But the rest of them are standing one front with respect to the intel about this, major decision.
Since there seems to be this united front, Does it mean that there is some real intel here that we just haven't found out about yet, or that you haven't heard about yet? Or is there something else going on here?
Yeah, so I don't want to dismiss the possibility that there was that there were ties between, you know, these organizations and the PFLP. I haven't seen evidence one way or the other, but that's part of the problem, is there's been no evidence or hard evidence being shown to anybody. Sort of what there is, sort of as Tal noted, there have been members of these organizations that were, you know, these human rights organizations that committed terror attacks, that are active in PFLP. So it's not sort of coming from absolutely nowhere. However, that somebody at a certain organization commits a terror attack doesn't mean that the organization, sort of as an organization, is part of that effort. And that's sort of what has really been lacking in terms of evidence and even hardcore allegations to say, look, we can draw a straight line between PFLP and Al-Haq. So there's sort of that's sort of the gap that exists. And even in terms of the government now presenting sort of a straight front, even there was pretty clearly some gaps in who was told what at what time, because you had sort of members of the security cabinet who were asked about this, you know, on the day or a day after, and sort of saying that they hadn't heard about it, they weren't aware. And for something like this, which is going to provoke sort of a pretty major major outcry from the United States, whether that was, you know, due to miscommunication or not, but from the United States, definitely from, you know, European countries that Israel has ties with, you know, shows that this was not necessarily thought all the way through, and that the defense ministry and the justice ministry, who are also part of this declaration, didn't necessarily sort of fully understand the action that they were taking and the response that it was going to get.
This Times of Israel podcast is brought to you by Koren Publishers Jerusalem. Whether you're looking to enrich your mind or your soul, Koren Publishers has it all. From Israeli history to the works of Rabbi Sacks, Rabbi Steinsaltz, and other contemporary thinkers, including the brand new Magamon edition Koren Tanakh, with translation by Rabbi Sacks, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, Jessica Sacks, and many others. Times of Israel listeners can get 10% off your entire order. Just go to korenpub.com and use the code TOIPOD, that's KORENPUB.com, and enter the code TOIPOD for your 10% discount.
Tal, I want to move on to an investigative story that just came out in Zman Yisrael, our Hebrew site, yesterday. It will be coming out in English, hopefully today, on our site, now being reported in other news media, about Israel's aviation database, credit cards. Tell us what you can for now.
Right. It's a huge new database that is being worked on these days. It's not out in the open yet because the government did not put the bill for approval yet. It will have to put it first for public review, according to Israeli law. The new database is going to be one of the biggest ever in this country. It includes anyone who wants to fly out of the country. I mean, not even just booking a flight, but also asking about flights, and anyone who wants to come in into this country, asking about flights and discussing it with airlines. The airlines on this bill will have to submit to the government, to the Shin Bet and to the National Security Council and to other officials, the names, street address, emails, not phone numbers, but way beyond that, the credit card numbers, the frequent flyer numbers, the seat chosen, whatever he booked on that seat, if that is it's cargo or, you know, whatever is accompanying the person. It's worded in such a way that even the leg room or whatever you booked online on the Wi-Fi on the airplane will be part of this huge database. It's already causing some stir. I have to tell you, I mean, there were government decisions regarding this database. People who are familiar with the terms of this world, it's PNR, or there is another, you know, codes, words for that. It's well known in Europe and in the United States. The officials I talked to in Israel's government say that this kind of database already exists in the United States. They say that the authorities in the United States are collecting everything since September 11. And he says that Israel is only adjusting itself to the way it's going on around the world. I have to tell you, it's true that there is a UN resolution that says that country needs to share more information because of fear of terror, and specifically, you know, terrorists traveling, like the ISIS or Al-Qaeda were traveling through 2014, 15, 16 from Europe to the region. So that was the initial purpose of this bill. But now it became a more crucial front on the way to fight pandemic. So right now they're looking for intelligence and data on whatever connection flight Judah, I, or Jessica did. So if you want to fly to Russia, for example, Jessica, and Russia is, banned because of an outbreak of a pandemic, then some people, you know, many of them apparently would buy tickets to Vienna, and then they will buy for the following day tickets with another, airline or another company, and it will be off the radar for the Israeli companies or for the Israeli, airports. And they are trying to bypass that with intel, with info, where people are, how people are bypassing legislation and what are they doing. This is a huge infringement of freedom of movement. It's a huge, huge infringement of the rights for privacy. I suppose the bill will not pass as it is worded right now. And let me just say one more sentence. From what I've read in the United States, the airlines company are resisting those databases. It doesn't mean, I really don't know what the government in the United States is collecting or not, but I did read that they are, the airlines are not playing along at all. So we'll have to see, what's going to happen here with that.
I mean, presumably Israel has been working on this database for a long time, or the skeleton of it, the bones of it were already in existence, I would imagine.
It's in the process for less than 2 years. I mean, the resolutions to promote that came along at first in 2014, but then at the beginning of the pandemic in February 2020, the former government, headed by Netanyahu, has decided to move that further more quickly and to include the disease prevention goal in this bill. And since then, since February 2020, we have a budget allocated. The budget has grown from 6 million, million shekels to 30-something million shekels, and it's allocated for next year in the amount of 350 million shekels. So it is a major, major project of the Israeli government. Those numbers were not confirmed by the government, but I did get them from a source. So I'm just saying this in order to be on the careful side. But I have to tell you, it seems like they're going to build a whole new governmental agency to be headed by someone who's supposed to be cooperating with the Shin Bet, with the health ministry, with the interior ministry. The list of preventions, criminalities on this bill is huge. Any computers, crime, interior ministry violations, trafficking in kids. And also they listed there, the need to prevent, crimes in copyright or crimes in veggies and animals, import and so on.
If you brought dried dates to your relatives in New Jersey, that kind of thing.
No. Dried fruit is okay. I've learned.
Oh, okay.
By the way, the Customs Authority of Israel is going to be chairing the project.
Wow.
So it's a prevention of money laundering and many other issues. But as I said, also copyright law. Right?
Wow.
This is crazy. And I think the fact that they want to take the credit card numbers, the credit card addresses, and the freaking flyer data, this is just crazy.
It's pretty shocking. Okay, so Tal, we're going to look forward to reading that when it comes out on the Times of Israel site. And in the meantime, I thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Remember, everyone, sign up for Streetwise Hebrew. Streetwise Hebrew, become a member of the Times of Israel community. Have a great Monday and a good week.
Hi, it's Sarah Tuttle Singer from the Times of Israel. Come join our community and support fast and fair independent journalism. You can sign up with the link at the bottom of every single article on the site.
Thanks for listening to the Times of Israel Daily Briefing.
You can find us daily wherever you get your podcasts.
And of course, on thetimesofisrael.com.